We're going to look at the Bible verse that we're going to have over our church this year. And so we don't want it just as a dead verse, so let's just explore it for a few moments. There'll be time for prayer and share afterwards. So if you're called to think of something for prayer, we would love to be able to pray for you. We might be feeling a little bit tired today. Maybe we celebrated last night. Maybe Christmas has worn us out, and we might be slightly burdened, and this mic has got a mind of its own. But let's come to the Lord and let's focus this morning on this particular chapter. Thank you. But this is our chapter, and this is how the Lord wants us to live. And it comes from the book of Micah, which is seven chapters, three of which are definitely from Micah. The last four, we're not completely sure. And this is at the end of the, at the very end of the chapter, chapter six, which we've just sung about. Thanks, Mike. That was amazing to have a song made from scripture. When I first knew Susan, and she was in our small group, I was absolutely enthralled by the fact she'd taken scripture and put it to music, and we sung so much of that. So it was really meaningful. So we're called to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. It's your God. Not just my God, it's your God. So who was Micah? Well, he lived around about the time of Isaiah. He was a minor prophet, which didn't mean that he was little and Isaiah was large. It meant he wrote a smaller book. He contributed a smaller section in our Bible. Do you know, for years I really thought minor prophets were the little ones and the majors were the big. He was active before the fall of Judah, around about 722 BC, that was, and he prophesied before Christ, 737 years before, to 696. So he was an active man. He was called by God as a prophet. There were many prophets. Some were fake. He was a prophet of God and was born in a sort of village called Monsheth, but also called, no, Morsheth, but also called Morsheth Gath. It was a small town in southwest Judah, and his name meant who is like God. Now, he'd seen battle. At work, we're reading every morning 2 Kings, and it's fascinating. We wanted kings because we thought God wasn't the king. We had kings, then war started, and war didn't stop. And if the Northern Territory and the Southern Territory didn't ever stop battling, that was unusual in the Book of Kings. There were small reigns of, say, 40 years, 10, 15 years, where there was peace. And it may have been because there was a good king. But the only perfect king was God, Jesus. So Mishpat is the word for fair judgment. It's a Hebrew word. And at the time, the prophets were taking money to prophesy. That doesn't mean it doesn't happen now. I've been to conventions where I've heard prophets, and I've had to really work out and weigh up, what is it they're saying? Is it for their good? Is it for them to feel arrogant? Or is this the truth? And defining the truth, you need the gift of discernment. A mishpat is the Hebrew word for law as well. A mishpatan is a lawyer, and there were lots of legal cases, as there are now. People were evil, committed evil, and had to come to court. And the Israeli civil courts call their courtrooms now the Batai Mishpat Ishalom, courts for making peace between people. Making peace. Does that always happen in our courts? I don't know. A Mishpat Isri is the name for those areas of Jewish law that can also be applied to the secular world. So we have civil court, we have Supreme Court, we have Court of Justice. I think there's a few others. I'm not a lawyer, so I'm not sure. But there are levels of our court law. So acting justly, what does that really mean? Well, acting justly means that you have the quality of being fair and kind to everyone. Are we fair and kind to everyone? That challenges me. But we hope that our judges are fair and kind. And there was a lot of corruption, as there is now, in these days when Micah was prophesying. The word justly is used 9 times in the Bible. And, interestingly enough, only in the context of the poor and the needy. So acting justly means you have to have that quality. The word is used for these people, the widow. It's used for the fatherless. It's used for the orphan, the poor, the hungry, the needy, the weak, the refugee, and the oppressed. Do any of us come under any of those titles? Do any of us here? Even being an orphan, you come under the love and the just law of God. And there are so many orphans all over this world. Only the other day, I watched the programme about the Chinese Revolution and the one-child policy and how many children were dumped in orphanages. Just to be left there, a man came and he managed to get a system of adoption, an Englishman from Norfolk. And now for 22 years, there is a way that these children can be out of orphanages. But God worked through him. He was a man of God. Love, mercy. Mercy points to all, regardless of their state, to king, to pauper, to the very wealthy, to the very poor, to the grace of God, which we live under through Jesus' death on the cross. And mercy points all of us towards that cross. If God was that merciful to us, we must be merciful to others. It's a challenge. I don't stand here saying I've got it. Every day at work, probably like Leanne and many of you, I meet people who I know need to know more about God's mercy, to know what they're worth. Because if we don't know what we're worth in God, we don't know what we're worth at all in this world. But we're all under God's mercy. He died for everyone. So we need to be merciful to those who doubt. And saving others by snatching them from the fire. What does that mean? We all know people. I was thinking about this yesterday when I was driving around. How's my friendship group made up in my life? Well, probably half that know Christ and half that don't. If I only geared towards the people who did, then would I become a holy huddler? And if I only worked with the people who didn't, I'd quite easily get snatched away from God. So getting the balance and refreshing in the Lord and remembering we can't do it in our own strength. And show mercy. So walking humbly is the last point. Walking humbly with the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean we have to grovel. It doesn't mean that we have to be pious. It doesn't mean that we have to sort of walk with our back stooped, looking very humble. Because actually we'd probably get backache after a while. But it does mean that we have to remember that everything we have from God, everything, all the benefits, Psalm 103 says, forget not his benefits. Those benefits are given to us from heaven, from God. We're nothing without him. And so this verse calls us to walk humbly and live our life submissively to the Holy Spirit. That is not easy. We get up, we brush our teeth, we eat our Weet-Bix, we get in our car, we walk, we get on our bike, we go to work or we do other chores. How many times a day do we check in and give time for God and let the Spirit refresh us? Just recently, I've needed that even more. And particularly at work, I'll just go and take myself off, probably for 5 minutes or so, to refresh in the Spirit, without which I probably couldn't continue for the next 7 or 8 hours. But every now and again, that's what I'm called to do. And as I've got older, I've seen it more. I've got a cough sweep for you later, eh? So let's remember that when we look at this verse, it's live. It means us. It's not a dead verse. If you're anything like me, when we go on to a leaders' meeting, Michael's saying, what is the verse for the year? And we all go, live this verse, really know what it means. So this is what the Lord requires of you, to act justly. Maybe get involved as well in something I've really got involved in is Christian solidarity worldwide. So you understand the persecution of our brothers and sisters worldwide. Gives us a different perspective. Gives us an attitude of gratitude. Walk humbly with the Holy Spirit and love mercy.